Father, we're so grateful that there are other believers in this room who have a desire to know your word. Lord, this is not just some social gathering, not some event that we do each week to come together for a common purpose. But Lord, we gather to be equipped. We gather to be filled with your word, with your spirit, and with the boldness to go out into this world and truly make a difference. God, I pray for this congregation this morning. I pray for their hearts. I pray that there would be a great desire and determination to live for you, to certainly go through life doing what we're called to do and we're responsible to do at work or at home or at school. But Lord, never forgetting, we're Christians 24/7. We're followers of Christ for those who have put their faith and trust in you. And so God, help us as your children to live for you, to live and to give to your kingdom. God, bless this time as we study your word. For many of us in this room, we're going through trials, and they're not easy. And we want to know how we are to respond and to react. And so Peter, I believe, will help us do that very thing, so that we might come out of these trials victorious, and that you'll receive all the glory. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. The treasures of trials. If you were here last week, you remember we talked on our first point of what it means to look at our trials and find the treasures that are in there and in them. And the first thing we saw were trials are necessary for my growth. That was the first thing we talked about, the only thing we talked about last week. That trials are necessary for me to grow in the Lord. We saw in verses 6 and 7 how Peter says, it is in this you greatly rejoice, though you've been grieved by various trials. It's like Peter understood trials. Peter understood what it meant to go through difficult times, but Peter also knew what it meant to deny the Lord. He knew what it meant to in a sense, let down his Lord. And many, for some of us in this room, letting down the Lord is maybe the trial that you're going through. You know that you didn't do something that he called you to do, or you aren't operating the gifts that he's given to you, and you maybe have let down the Lord. And that's what Peter is coming from. That's his perspective. See, the trials we talked about last week, real briefly, when it comes to trials, trials are needed. It says there in verse 6, if need be. Trials are varied. Trials are hard. And then we also looked at trials are temporary. Praise God for that. Trials are temporary. They only last for a season. Some seasons are short, some seasons aren't. Some seasons are much longer, but they're temporary. God will not allow you to spend 1 second longer in a trial than is needed for you. And that will help you grow and be a strong Christian. And then finally, we saw the results of trials in verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, to honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Guys, when we stand in his presence, when he returns for us, man, it's going to be a great thing, isn't it? It's going to be a time of rejoicing. It's going to be a time of praise, honor, and glory, as Peter says. Again, looking at that finish line, looking at when we get to heaven, all the trials aren't going to mean a thing. It's going to all be worth it once we see the Lord. And we're going to say, oh, I believe for many of us, I would think we're going to say, well, I wish I had done more for you, God, because you've been so good to me. Yes, trials are necessary for growth. And I believe the strongest Christians in God's church today are the most tried Christians. The weakest Christians are those who have not stretched their faith, have not reached out a hand to help, have not been used by God. See, there is so much more that God wants for you and for your Christian life than probably you want for yourself. He wants you to grow. And I pray you are growing. I pray that you grow in the Lord every single day. I do believe that God gives us opportunities to serve him at every moment. So yes, trials are necessary for my growth, but now we're going to get into our second point, and I'll give it to you. Trials keep my dependence on God, right? Trials keep my dependence on God. What's the first thing we should do as Christians? when we find ourselves in a trial. Cry out to him. Help, Lord. What are you doing, Lord? Why is this happening, Lord? We depend on him, and we touched upon it a little bit last week, that when trials come, we lean on the Lord. After the service last week, a brother came up to me and said, you know, when I find myself in a season when I'm not going through a trial, I find myself being very thankful. And that is so true. That is so good. That when we're not going through a difficulty, I mean, for some of us, I remember my wife and I talking, things are going good. What's about to happen? You ever feel that way? It's like, boy, things are going so good. Where's the rug going to be pulled out from under me? It's like, oh, here, I think we need to, as Christians, enjoy those times. Don't fret. Don't worry. What's around the corner? What mistake is going to happen? No, just enjoy those seasons. But be mindful that things could change. And know that God will be with you when he does, when those things do happen. Our dependence on God is so important. I think we should be dependent on God at any time. But I believe those trials really draw us close to the Lord. Wouldn't you agree? That those times when it's hard or you feel like heaven goes silent or the word isn't speaking to you or things just aren't going right. It's like, oh, Lord, I need to be more dependent upon you. And we really do at every moment. Look with me at verse 8. We'll read verses 8 through 12 just to get the context again. Speaking about Jesus Christ from verse 7, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified, that's God, beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So verses 8 and 9 speak to us of this dependence on God, whom having not seen, you love. No one in this room has ever physically seen Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that? Okay. We believe in him, we love him, but we've never seen him. We've seen the effects of the Lord, I would hope. We've seen the effects of our faith. We've seen God working either in our lives or the lives of others, but we've never physically seen him. This is the perspective that Peter has when he's writing this letter. He says, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing. Peter physically saw the Lord, did he not? But Peter is writing from a perspective, you haven't. You haven't seen God. I've seen him. I've seen his eyes. I've seen him eat. I've seen him lay down. I've seen him stand up. I've seen him transfigured. I've seen the Lord. But Peter is saying, you haven't seen him, but yet you love him still. And I believe in some senses, Peter is saying, you love him more because you haven't seen him. Because your faith, that those two words in the middle of verse 8, yet believing, please circle them, yet believing, no matter what happens in your life, you must yet believe in the Lord. Yet have your faith strong in God. Why? Because there's going to be times when you feel like, God's forgotten me. These things are happening to me and they're difficult. What is going on? It is your faith, it is your belief in God that will get you through that trial. It's that confidence that you have that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I believe there are Christians that don't believe that. They know that, but they don't believe it. They're not believing that what's happening to them in their life right now, though it may be difficult, is for their own good. No, they need to believe. And that's what the Bible says. Yet believing. You've never seen God. You have never laid eyes on him. But you've seen his work by exercising your faith. by believing what he has done. Can the things that have happened in your life be attributed to the hand of God? Answer in your hearts. Answer, can the things that have happened in my life be attributed to God? Yes. And I say that emphatically, yes. I look at my life and I see what's happened in my life. I've seen what happened in certain areas of your lives and say, God did that. God allowed that. God worked that out. God delivered you in that situation. And it so helps my faith, helps my belief in God. Just last week, as people were leaving after service, I had an opportunity to pray over someone in the service who was hurting, and they were possibly going to be going into the hospital the next day on Monday. And I said, wait, we need to pray for this. And so we just take a minute, we anoint, we ask some people, lay hands, we pray, God, stop whatever's going on. I pray that this child of God does not have to go into the hospital. She never has to go in. Amen. Praise God. I attribute that to God. Not to me, not to what I said, not to whose hands were being laid. I believe that with everything in my being, I believe that God could, and he did. Praise be to God. Amen. Praise be to God. That helps me be dependent on God, right? So this morning, come on, thank you so much for praying for me. Your prayer worked. I said, no. My faith was exercised. God worked. God works, my friends. And that's why I want to encourage you through Peter to be dependent on God. The word use God came to mind, but that's not what I mean. It's like exercise your faith in God. He's giving you all the heavenly blessings are available to you. But I feel like there's Christians that say, it won't work for me. I need Pastor Rob. I need Pastor this. I need so-and-so who prays all the time. No. Little bit of faith. What is it, James? Mustard seed. Thank you. That's James and I, new word this year. Mustard seed. It just takes a little bit of faith. Why is that so important? Because if it only takes a little, and you have more than a little, that's good. That's good. If you have a bag of mustard seeds, excellent. You have enough faith. Because believe it, guys. Today, right now, whatever it is you're going through, you can stop and say, I'm going to be dependent on God today. I'm going to rely on God because no matter what's going on, I may not see him working. I may not see what he's doing. I may not understand the final outcome, but yet believing, I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to depend on God today and see what happens. Now, does that mean if this person I prayed for last week ended up in the hospital that, oh, God's mad at us? No. God's going to do what God's going to do. But I think in the midst of what God's doing, we should say, God, we trust you. We're going to put it into your hands. We're going to attribute it to you. So I believe God uses doctors. I believe God uses medicine. I believe God uses these things to help us in this world. We can't live on either extreme, not relying on God at all or relying on God only. God has things that he's put into place and systems that exist that will help us, and we need to use those and exercise those with discernment. With discernment. Now, you know me. I'm not big on a lot of medication. And when someone tells me that they're on medication and they'll be on it for the rest of their life, I have to in my heart go, not unless it's against God's will. If it's against God's will. And let me tell you, after what happened to me, doctors have me on a medication. They say I'm going to have to be on the rest of my life. And I'm like, Lord, you need to tell me. You need to show me that. You need to reveal that to me because everything within me wants to buck the doctor's system. But, Lord, you give them wisdom. So, we just be active in our care. We be active. I've shared this before. I knew a man who was on 17 different medications that the doctor said he could never be off any of them. And I'm like, that totally disengages my faith and my trust in God and my belief in the Lord. I can stand here before you today and know that he is... At one point, he was off all of them. Praise be to God. Doctors aren't the infinite wisdom of God. They can be used by God, And I think we need to consider what they do. But it's like, be careful when they tell you, this is what you'll be. Alcoholics Anonymous. Anonymous. Hi, I'm Rob Taylor. I'm an alcoholic. I'll always be an alcoholic. No! When God delivers you from something, you are delivered from that. Correct? Whew. We are sinners, but we are not sinful. Do you understand? No, God delivers people. I'm just going off. I don't know where I'm at here. It does, a lot. Peter is writing to believers who have not seen Christ. And if even in this scripture there, see in verse 8, whom having not seen, in some of your Bibles there may be a star nearby it, or maybe some of your Bibles say known. It's also the same word as known. Whom having not known you love. Have not physically had that known relationship, is what it's saying here, because they never saw them. They didn't know him personally. And as I said, Peter saw the Lord. Peter was able to speak to their lives from a different perspective. And I think for some of Christians in this room, you need to get around some other Christians that have a different perspective. You hear what I'm saying? That have a different perspective. If you're feeling caught up, if you're feeling bound up, if you're feeling restricted, get around a Christian who has a lot of faith. Get around a Christian that can encourage you. I'm an encourager. I've been gifted with the gift of encouragement. I love to encourage people, especially when they come in with long faces and long stories and all depressed. And I'm like, praise God. God's going to do a work here. And to be able to see them leave my office with a smile and with hope, I love that. That's how Christians should live. We should be the happiest people on the planet. Right? I mean, we should be. We need to believe. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are those who believe and yet have not seen. I believe in this. Jesus is saying, sometimes things you see with your eyes, listen, hinder you from seeing things with your heart. You hear what I'm saying? Sometimes the things we see with our eyes hinder us from seeing the things with our heart. Because I think sometimes we only see one-dimensional. We only see one side. We look at what God's doing and we don't fully understand. And God's saying, I'm doing a work that you can't understand. Give me some time. You're seeing it with your eyes. You need to discern it with your heart. You need to understand what it is I'm doing. Paul said it this way, for we must walk by faith, not by sight. Writer of Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith. Walking by faith. Dependence on God requires you to walk by faith. Wouldn't you agree? If I'm depending on God who I don't see, then I have to have a lot of faith that God's going to be a God of His Word. I have to have a lot of faith there, even though we may not see it. He says, though you have not seen Him, yet believing, you rejoice. Look at this word. Joy inexpressible. Joy inexpressible. I would highlight that in my Bible and ask myself, do I have joy that's inexpressible? This is joy that's, listen, indescribable. Whew. I have such joy, I don't know how to tell you how much joy I have. I don't even know how to put it in words. That's what Peter is saying. You're going through some serious trials, church that he's writing to. You've got some heavy persecution, but you should have joy that you can't even explain. You should have such amazing joy that you can't even put words to it. Paul, talking about God's grace, said it this way, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Oh, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. What's the indescribable gift? Jesus. Indescribable. Uncompletely knowable. Every time you get to know the Lord more, there's more to know. That's the God we serve. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We'll come back to 1 Peter real quickly. Romans chapter 8, towards the end, verse 26. I want to remind you that the Holy Spirit is given to you to help you to pray when words do cease to exist. Again, a joy that's inexpressible. If your joy is inexpressible, how do you express it in a prayer to God? How do you communicate to God? Well, how, Lord, I'm trying to tell you how I feel, but I just don't even know how to describe how I feel. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Maybe that's the word. Romans 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. Anybody weak this morning? Anybody feeling tired? The Spirit helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit can speak to God and pray to God on your behalf because you can't put it into words. Look at verse 27. Now, He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I don't know if you notice it, but in the Bible, with Jesus, as long as you ask in my name, you will receive. As long as you ask according to my will, the Holy Spirit inside you always asks according to God's will. Therefore, you will have it. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purposes. Guys, all things. It doesn't say all good things, all holy things, all pure things, all things. Even the difficult things, even the hard things. All things work for good, together for good, to those who love God. Do you see the connection between getting your prayers answered and your love for the Lord? Just loving God? Loving Him, just saying, Lord, I just so love You. I so appreciate You. I'm so thankful that You're in my life. It's that type of heart that Paul's talking to here in Romans, and that's what Peter's talking about. You haven't seen Him, but you love Him. You love Him because you've heard about Him. There's a great need in the church today for people to express their love for the Lord. And many times we do that by loving others, by loving our neighbors, by loving those next to us. I want you to think about this week. Does your prayer get to that place where words cease to exist? Do you spend time not just with a list of paper praying for work and praying for money and praying for bills and praying for this? Or do you sit there and say, Lord, I love You so much. I'm so thankful for what You've done in my life. Thank You for saving me. Then you get to that place like, I don't know what more to thank You for, but there's more in there. Holy Spirit. Prayer language. Ever hear of a prayer language? Saying words out of your mouth you don't understand, but God knows? That's what this is talking about. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings. I used to pray with a guy, and we'd be praying, and as I'm praying, he'd be going, oh, yeah. At first, I was like, what is wrong with him? Is he falling asleep? Come to find out, but that's our spirit. It's like, oh, I'm agreeing with You. And it's like the words just cease to exist. Holy Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray over people with the Spirit. I know it's weird when you hear it. When people come forward and we lay hands, if there's someone up here I know is going to pray in a tongue, I'll let them know, hey, so-and-so is going to pray with, you may hear if they're praying in a tongue for you, because the Holy Spirit knows what you have need of more than I do or more than they do. And so you might hear a tongue. Don't get freaked out. It's okay. It's good. Don't let it distract you. It's God praying. It's Holy Spirit praying. Guys, this is where our prayers need to get to. This is where our prayers, Lord, is there a great need in your life? Is there a small need in your life? Get on your knees and start just pouring your heart out to God, telling Him how much you love Him, and trying to express this joy that you have that's inexpressible, that the Holy Spirit must do. The Holy Spirit must engage. Back to 1 Peter. Again, we're talking about trials help keep my dependence on God. With joy inexpressible, full of glory, full of honor to God. That's your joy, rejoicing with that joy that's full of glory to God. And verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Once we're saved, once we get to heaven, there's no longer a need for faith. We're going to know God. He's going to know us. We're going to know Him completely. We don't have to believe in Him. We know He exists. It's no longer a believing in something we haven't seen. We've seen it, and now we know it. The end of our faith. Our faith needs to get across the finish line. The end of our faith is our salvation. That's our salvation. Our dependence on God till we get there, till we're in His glory, worshiping Him. It's a beautiful thing. Finally and lastly, trials are necessary for my growth. Trials help keep my dependence on God. Listen to this one. Trials equip me for the grace of God. Trials equip me for the grace of God. I don't know if you caught it when I read it in verse 10. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Whoa. The grace that would come to you. We live, my friends, in the days of grace. We are living in the days of grace. The days between when Christ died and the time that Christ is going to return. We are in the days of grace. And these prophets were prophesying about things that weren't even for themselves. It was for you. It was for us. In fact, that word us in verse 12 could actually be, but to you they came. These promises were revealed to them for you and for me and for us. Things they couldn't comprehend. Again, verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them, Spirit of Christ was in them, indicating when He, God, testified before the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Think of the perspective from a prophet. They're prophesying of the sufferings of the Messiah and the glorying of the Messiah. Two distinct different things, but from the same perspective. How could they comprehend the sufferings of the Messiah with the glory of Messiah at the same time? I have a little picture I want to put up there. We're basically, this is how theologians try to describe it. From the prophet's perspective, they're standing over here looking down at two mountaintops. They're seeing the suffering and they're seeing the glory at the same time. We as believers today, the church age, are in between. We see the sufferings of Christ past and the glory is coming yet future. So we have a different perspective than the prophets did. So the prophets were confused as to what they were talking about, what they're writing about. They're just being led by the Holy Spirit to write it. The sufferings of Christ when He would die on the cross of Calvary. Theologians say two mountains, Mount of Calvary where He died and the Mount of Olives where He will return. Those two mountains, they saw at the same time and they couldn't comprehend it. We see it differently. We see the cross of Calvary, we see where He suffered, but we also believe in a time where He's going to be glorified when He returns on Mount of Olives. It's like, oh, we have a totally different perspective. So these prophets foretold of the grace that we would receive. The grace, the wisdom, the days of knowledge, all this knowledge that we have and the understanding of the Word of God. Do you know that you have a greater ability to understand the Word of God than anybody on the planet? Past? You have more tools and more commentaries and more dictionaries and more things to explain to you what the Scriptures say than any of the prophets ever had. And we have the Holy Spirit that can show us and reveal to us. It's always important if you're a student of the Word of God to let the Holy Spirit speak to you before anybody else. Please listen to the voice of the Spirit before you listen to any commentary or read any other books, as the Holy Spirit knows better than any man knows. You hear me? Studying the Word of God. So this was the perspective that they had. Though they spoke of the Messiah, they didn't fully understand. In fact, let's look at one of them. Daniel, chapter 12, last chapter in the book of Daniel. Towards the end, we'll look at verse 8. Daniel chapter 12. If you've ever read the book of Daniel, you know that Daniel was able to interpret dreams. Very wise man given by God. Here at the end of the book, we're revealed something about Daniel that is amazing to us. Daniel 12 and verse 8 says, although I heard, and if you want to read the first part of chapter 12 later today, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. I mean, this is a Bible study in itself, just those two verses. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The wicked and the wise, which are you? Do you understand the things of the Bible? Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, speaking to Daniel, go your way till the end, for you shall rest, or die, and will arise, resurrect, to your inheritance at the end of days. So much going on in there. So much going on there. But what Daniel is saying is he didn't understand what was going on. He actually asked for clarification. He said, no, Daniel, sorry, not for your time. It's for a future time. For a time today where we can understand the things that Daniel's talking about. Those days that he's talking about are the past coming of Christ and the judgment of his foes to the beginning of his reign. It's speaking of a time period that we're going to call the Great Tribulation. It's a time that Daniel doesn't going to understand, but we're able to understand it. We're able to search the scriptures. And a few verses before that, it says time and times and half a time, 3.5 years. Speaking about that half of the Great Tribulation before Christ returns. We understand those, or we should as Christians understand those things. Why? There's a world out there that doesn't understand it, and it's our job to let them know what it means. There's a time coming when Christ is going to return for his church and start a clock until that great battle of Armageddon, when no one else can be saved after that. Their time is short, my friends. We are equipped for the grace of God through our trials. And why do I even say that? Why do I say it like that? Because the prophets saw the blessings and the grace that we were going to receive. As Christians, trials, I don't know about you, but a trial helps me appreciate God's grace all that more. A difficulty that I've gotten through helps me enjoy the grace of God. The grace that says, my grace is sufficient for you. It's a great reminder that his grace is sufficient for me, and that grace that I receive after I get through my trial. It's such a beautiful thing. Daniel's going to die. But at the end of there, the promise of his resurrection. But you will arise. See, we believe that Christ suffered when he lived here, correct? If he suffered, we're going to suffer. Christ died when he was on earth. We're going to die. Christ rose. We're going to rise. Those are the things that we believe in as believers. If Christ suffered, why shouldn't we? If Christ went through difficulties, why shouldn't we? If the world hated Christ, why shouldn't they hate us if we're going to be Christ-like? Be careful if the world loves you. Be careful if the world loves you. Yeah, I'm not saying keep yourself out of the world. I'm saying be careful when you're in the world. Look different than the world. Act different than the world. Make a difference in the world by the faith that's in you, that joy that's inexpressible. Jesus said it this way, Matthew 13, 17, overhead. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Do you realize how privileged you are to be born in the age of grace? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why, God? Thank you, but why? Thank you that we were born in this time. We have a responsibility, friends. We have a responsibility with this message. We have a responsibility to this world who's going through trials for us to go through the same trials and show them how it should be done. how we should get through them. Go back to 1 Peter. Don't miss this. All the way down at the end of verse 12. Things which angels desire to look into. Do you realize that angels are in heaven jealous of you? Jealous of you. Because you have received the grace of God. Because you have been saved by the blood of Christ. We have an opportunity to proclaim to the world the good news of the gospel. And angels in heaven are going, "We'll do it, we'll do it." And God says, "No, you won't." If you look at the Bible, we see angels pop in here or there, don't we? But they're not everywhere. God didn't create angels to send the good news of the gospel. That's our job. But angels are in heaven going, "I want to do it." That should make us feel really privileged. And that should make us really motivated. If they're excited about doing it, why aren't we? Why aren't we? Well, I'm going through a trial. Praise God. Because that trial is going to grow you. That trial is going to help you depend on God. And that trial is going to reveal God's grace to you. Why shouldn't we rejoice in Him? So we're going to close and ask God to give us a lot more trials this week. No. We have an interesting perspective, my friends. Standing between the two mountains, we know what the word is saying. We understand what it means. Daniel didn't understand it. The prophets didn't understand it. We have the ability to understand it clearly. And we need to use this knowledge to let other people know. Do me a favor. Look for opportunities this week to share your faith, to share your belief in God. I know for some, it's uneasy. You don't know what to say. What if they ask a question I don't know? Just say, "I don't know the answer." There. So now you know the answer to that question. You don't know. You don't have to know everything. But what do you know? What do you know about God? What has God done in your life? Has He healed you? Has He restored you? Has He lifted you up? Is there joy inexpressible? Share those things. The rest, just say, "I don't know anything about that. All I know is Jesus loves me. He died for me." There's a world out there that needs to hear it. And I know we live in the Bible boat, and everybody believes. But I think it's time to start a fire. Get people hot, on fire for the Lord. We can do it with His help. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We're so grateful for a man like Peter. Though he denied You, God, You restored him. Though he let You down, You knew he was going to. Just like You know we're going to let You down from time to time. But God, I pray that those disappointments in our life don't hinder us from making a difference, for being on fire for the Lord, for not worrying about being persecuted or hated because of our faith. But at least people know where we stand. So anoint our lips to speak. Anoint our eyes that we would see the needs in this world and let You meet them. And give us ears to hear Your Spirit, guiding us, directing us, revealing truth in Your word, empowering us, Lord, to be a vibrant church, a church of Jesus Christ that is anticipating Your return at any moment. And though we do a lot of things together and have fellowship together and gather together, God, I pray that this church is touching people's lives, helping people in their time of need. We have needs. There's plenty of needs in this church. And You want to meet them all, Lord. You want to meet each and every one of those needs. But help us not to be so concerned about our own needs when we might be able to help someone else. Led by Your Spirit, Lord. Lead us by Your Spirit. We love You with all of our hearts. Let us walk in such a way that glorifies you. Be with us as we go. Bless us. Bless our lives, that we'd be a blessing to others. It's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.